Hi there, welcome to lesson 8 of 10 weeks of transformation, how not to lie your way through life. I feel like I could be an authority on this, so I feel really passionate about this lesson, and I think I should go back to the first lie that I ever remember telling and why. I believe I was in grade 3 or 4, and we were living in Red Deer, Alberta at the time. My family had left Vancouver Island, where I had grown up, the house and the farm and everything that I had grown up on, and we were now living in Red Deer. I can't tell you that I knew that my parents had problems, but I knew that there was definitely some tension in the home. Would I have been able to pinpoint that exactly as a child? No, probably not, but I knew that things didn't feel right. Going to a new school, which I actually went to a new school almost every single year of my life, except for kindergarten and grade 1. Once I started getting into grade 2, 3, 4, 5, and all the way up, my parents moved about every year to a year and a half. I have no memory of my elementary school teachers, my elementary friends, my junior high, high school. Well, I mean, I only made it to grade 9, so we know how that went. Anyway, I joining a new school in grade 3 or 4 with kids that had been together since kindergarten made it very difficult for me to try and fit in. And I had short, curly hair. My mom had 6 kids and a busy life and a lot going on in her own life. And so with me having tight, naturally curly hair, she just felt like it was just too much to let it grow. Not to mention the fact that when it would just grow straight out, somewhat like Shirley Temple. So she kept it quite short, which unfortunately, I looked very boyish with my hair tight and curly. And I was awkward and clumsy. And I didn't know what I enjoyed, what I liked. I wasn't creative, so I wasn't a good color or drawer, and I wasn't good physically, so I wasn't a great runner or baseball player. I just had no sort of sense of self. Anyway, this one girl named Mary, everyone seemed to like Mary, and I loved Mary because she had beautiful, long, dark hair, and I loved her. And Mary lived with her mom, and she didn't have a dad. And I don't know where Mary's dad was, but I know that I remember thinking at the time that Mary had it made, that Mary's life was perfect. The energy in Mary's home when I would go there for lunch was calm and peaceful, and her mother was so sweet and kind. She reminded me of Ma from Little House on the Prairie. She wore long dresses that were flowy, and she had this like real hippie vibe energy. I loved that energy. This is the 70s. And so my aunt was very much like a hippie, and my brothers and sisters that were older than me, they were very much in this age. And it just was such a good vibe. And it felt like that to me. So I loved going there for lunch because there was no tension. And I equated there to being no tension because there was no dad. It was just Mary and her mom. Anyway, Mary had another friend that would sometimes walk home with us. And Mary and her friend were talking all about their lives and their moms and they were doing this on the weekend and they were doing this and this was happening and that was happening. And I remember walking along feeling shame. This is my first memory of feeling shame. I didn't know where I would be going on the weekend. And if I did, I knew that it would not be fun. In fact, it would be fearful. It would be stressful. There would be yelling. There would be fighting. There would be chaos because that's what was around us. And Mary and her friend sound like they were living these wonderful lives. And I felt shame because I wasn't living the same experience and the same life as them. So I remember looking down at the sidewalk and I said to both Mary and my friend, you know, my mom is my grandma is the Queen of England. And so my mom is like the princess, or I said my mom was the Queen of England. And anyway, we were in Red Deer, Alberta, hiding out. I know you can laugh about it now, but at the time, I really embodied that lie. I mean, I owned that lie with everything. It was elaborate, like living in the castles and how we were royalty, and how I just created a story in my mind and I so badly wanted to believe it. And Mary and her friend believed it. I mean, for the rest of the walk home, they treated me like I was absolutely the best little girl ever in the world, and they so badly wanted to be my friend. The next morning, everything changed because my older brother, who is 3 years older than me, made sure to tell the friend that Mary and I were with, the older brother to her, that that is a bold-faced lie and we are not from royalty and that is not true. My bubble was bursted and I didn't lose Mary altogether as a friend, but I did lose the other girl. And the rest of the year, there was a lot of snickering and calling me out, and I didn't really have any friends. My friends were my dolls in my room. My friends were my Smurfs. My friends were my toys that I played with. My friends were my older siblings, and that's it. So if you can peel back the layers of your life and understand that the number one reason why people lie is a protective mechanism to cope when they feel shame or when things go badly. And that lie built a premise for other lies in my life. I didn't know that I was a medium. I didn't know that I was a psychic. But I knew and felt from a very young age that there was always something wrong with me. I mean, there must have been. I was born to an alcoholic father, a home that had a lot of tension, and my home was very divided. My dad, I was his only biological daughter, so I was spoiled. But at the same time, it's like you're being spoiled by the monster. And my siblings resented me because they felt like I was being treated differently. And my mom was constantly trying to make it up to my brother, who's 3 years older. So I was very disconnected from her as well. Nobody wants to be the monster's favorite. It's not a good place to be. And so I was trying to be everybody else's favorite. My friends' parents, my boyfriend's family, my abusive husbands, my husband's family. I wanted everyone to like me. They needed to, because in my mind, my older siblings didn't like me. My mom didn't like me. And my dad, well, sure, but that was by default, or so I told myself. Those protective measures that you'll take to hide panic and anxiety, which I did all the time, the most ridiculous lies I would make up about why I couldn't go places or why I couldn't do things. I would dump out alcohol bottles as a teenager and I would fill it with water because I was ashamed that I wasn't able to drink. I was ashamed. Think about that. I was ashamed that I wasn't able to drink. I didn't know why I wasn't able to drink. I just knew that something weird happened to me and I heard things and felt things that I couldn't understand. I never wanted to be out of control. I never wanted to be out of control because my life around me already felt so badly and so much out of control. I just didn't want that. I was scared. I was always scared. I was scared of dying. I was scared of living. I was scared of my family dying, my mom. I was scared of everything. And I was so scared that I settled for very abusive people in forms of friendships, in forms of spouses. It didn't matter. I was taking leftovers in my life. And I was lying to myself and everyone else around me, trying to fake it until I could make it. But what's really going on inside of us and outside of us starts with shame. Shame. That's the number one reason. Is that we feel ashamed. We feel ashamed of who we are. We feel ashamed of who we aren't. And we're trying to protect ourselves from everyone finding out. Because if everyone truly finds out who I am, then I have no worth. You see, a lot of times you'll meet someone and that person will come off really bitchy or arrogant and really mean. And I always kind of look at those people and think, they're like that because it's all this projection. They feel so badly about themselves. They don't want one person to tell them anything about themselves that might make the whole thing crumble all around them. It's all fear-based. So when things go bad, as they sometimes do in our lives, how do you not lie? How do you not lie your way through life? You know what? I would like to tell you that I'm perfectly perfected this, but I'll be very honest with you. I still hide anxiety sometimes because I don't want people to know. I'll try and hide it when I'm in doctor's offices or when I'm out in public with my family because I don't want them to feel like I'm failing. I'm very honest with people now when it comes to my business and my life as a medium. I no longer feel any shame to say, yeah, I'm a medium and I talk to spirit on the other side. I've come to terms with being different in that way. But there's still this thing in me that feels weak for having anxiety. And I know it's tied to the post-traumatic stress of my childhood. Now, all those times that my husband abused me, I never one time called the police on him. And trust me, there were some times that the police should have been called. And I would love to tell you that it's because I was afraid that if he was arrested, what he would do to me if he got out, which was maybe a part of it. But the biggest part of it was I was mortified that a policeman would show up and look at me and feel pity or sorry. And wonder, why isn't she strong enough to get out of this? That's the core of shame. It keeps us trapped in relationships with toxic people, keeps us trapped in cycles of behavior, and it swallows us. And until we are honest with ourselves and others, only then are we free. So I remind myself when I'm having my little panic attack, it's okay to say, you know, I'm having a panic attack. I'm just not comfortable. Or just say, I'm having anxiety. I'm not comfortable in this setting. I don't need my family to be the Queen of England and to be royalty. I don't need to lie to anyone about anything anymore. I don't need to hide my mistakes. In fact, I kind of own them now. They're a badge of honor that I wear. Not because I'm proud of what I did, but because I'm proud that I own it and that I got through it. No one is perfect. And if you're surrounding yourself with people who are trying to be or who are telling you need to be, you got to change your friend system. You got to change the circle around you. You have to be okay with not being okay. You have to be okay with having a good day and a bad day. You have to be okay with not being perfect. And when that happens, the need to lie leaves because you no longer feel shame. Instead, you start to celebrate yourself and feel proud of who you are and what you are and how you got to where you need to be. I hope you enjoyed this lesson, and I look forward to connecting with you again very soon.